my job specifically, I got hired on in July to help our church with a number of things. One of them specifically is helping us organize how do we run together? How do we run on mission together? So Tony, for the last month, has been talking about we bow, we sit, we walk, we run. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the next 3 weeks and I'm going to help us to start putting into practice some of that we run and how we want to do that as a church. So, for example, this week I'm going to be sharing a little bit of like a vision and where I think our hearts need to be in this. Next week we're going to talk through some of the potential ministry partners we might be working with. And then November 20th is the culmination where we do Serve Together Sunday. But the goal of this Serve Together Sunday, in the past we've gone out, we've served, and it's been great. But the goal of this one is really to start launching us into a new pattern or rhythm for our church that has some structure to it so that we can regularly be serving together with these ministry partners. Because what we want to do is identify some really specific ministry partners and go deep with them. So we've had a number of ministry partners, but, you know, not all of us are aware of who we're partnering with, how we're partnering with them, or if you want to partner with them, how would you do that? What we want to do with the missions team, because we've got these teams, the deacons of the missions team, again, Brian and Carrie Foss are going to help us. I'm going to throw their name out pretty much every time I'm up here because Brian hates it and I love it. They're amazing. So they're going to help the missions team work through identifying like a handful of ministry partners for us that we can commit to and go deep with financially and physically. That we as a church can say, this is who we are about, and this is how we want to partner with them. And so that if you're at this church, you should be aware of who those people are and how you can get plugged in. So for example, let's say NeighborLink is one that we potentially will go deep with, right? We've worked with them a lot in the past. What would it look like for us to go deep with NeighborLink? Well, it could look like we end up serving with NeighborLink, right? That's like phase one. You go out, you serve with NeighborLink. But what would it look like for us as a church to start saying we want to get a little more organized around it? Let's start figuring out who's in a neighborhood together, and let's start organizing those people to serve not just anywhere but within their neighborhood so that you're not only like serving someone, but there's a relationship coming with it so that when you're walking around your neighborhood, all of a sudden you might bump into that person and you can have a further conversation with them. Or you've served them, you can go stop by, knock on their house and say, hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to check in. I wanted to see if you wanted prayer for anything. What would it look for that group to potentially become a community group in that neighborhood? And they say, hey, we are just going to make sure that if there's any need in our neighborhood, we own it. All needs in our neighborhood, our community group's going to take over, and we will make sure they're all served. And then what if it looks like that community group starts saying, we really want to be intentional to reach out to this group, so they start setting up other opportunities to build relationships with the people they're serving, inviting them into homes, having conversations, having meals, having opportunities to do what we think is the most fruitful thing, which is share the truth of the kingdom of Jesus, which brings freedom. So that's a vision of how we could go deep with the group. Or doing what we're doing now, but bringing more organization to it so that the intention is we are able to help the organization or we ourselves are building relationships with the people to be able to share the truth of Jesus. So the missions team is going to work for us to help identify who those missions partners might be for us. And then we're going to organize with community groups, or if you're not in a community group, we want to have ways for you to be able to, where the missions team can be available and connected with those ministry partners so that anytime a community group can say, hey, we want to know who we're serving with. Should I switch mics? Can you hear me better? I'm going to turn the other one off. Thanks, Tony. I'm definitely taking this off if I'm not wearing it, if I'm not using it. Okay, so the missions team, the goal is that they're going to get really connected with these ministry partners and that you and community groups can regularly use them to say, hey, we want to, who needs help right now? Who can we partner with? And that way it's just so much easier for you to know what the needs are and how you can serve with them. So that's where we want to go. And at the end of this 3 weeks, this we run, that's what we're doing. We're practicing we run. We are like, I'm kind of trying to kick the door open on that. So we're going to do Serve Together Sunday, which we've done in the past. But this time, we're just picking four ministry partners that we recognize within our midst we've been connected with. We're going to do NeighborLink, we're going to do Out of a Jam, New Mercies, and Josiah Venture. And we're saying those four on Serve Together Sunday, we're going to work with your community groups, or if you're not in a community group, we're going to have opportunities for you to choose from those. Which ones do you want to serve with? And so that you're starting to get connected with those ministry partners so that hopefully this can launch us into a rhythm where we're regularly serving with them wherever you're at. Okay, so I get really excited about this. I love the idea of getting out, serving, and helping meet the needs in our community or wherever you're at, sharing the gospel. But in reality, I'm really terrible at it. This is like confession moment. It feels appropriate to have a mic in my hand for this. I am really bad at having a heart for service. I've recognized this about myself for a long time. It's when I did spiritual gift tests in high school, I think service was like the bottom of the list. It's just not something that naturally is like stirred in my heart. I love the idea. I get excited about it. But when it comes to the moment, it's so much easier for me to choose comfort or like justify why it doesn't make sense for me to go do that. I just really struggle with it. And I constantly feel the challenge from Jesus to develop a heart like his, like to do better with that. And that's what I want to talk through today, is really like how I have felt challenged by Jesus in my own life to develop a heart for service, because this is something that is really not natural to me. I'm super grateful that I get to be married to someone who's like the most compassionate person I know. I benefit so much from seeing her heart break for others and break for the needs and be moved by it. And I just get to like basically run with her in that. But it's something that I feel challenged by God that I need to also be dealing with and developing myself. So let's dig into that. Matthew 25, if you guys have Bibles or on your phone or wherever, we'll also put it up on the screen. Could you go to Matthew 25, verse 31? This is going to be one of our two main texts for this morning. It's going to be a pretty lengthy passage, so I'm going to read it all. This is Jesus talking. His disciples have asked him about the end time, talking about like what does it look like when the kingdom of God comes to the earth. They're trying to figure out what should we be looking for, when is it going to happen. And Jesus goes through and talks through a number of things, trying to get their hearts in the right spot. And this is one of the last things he says about it. He said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." I thought I'd bring some light passage for this morning. That's heavy. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot that we could dig into. It stands out that the taking care of the needy is a really important thing to God when you read this. You see it all throughout Scripture, and here it stands out that in our final moments before eternity,
Jesus says that we stand before him and he talks about, like, how did we serve those in need? It's something that's at the core of his heart. The care of the needy, the broken, the hurting, the lost, the forgotten, the marginalized, that is the heartbeat of the Father, the care of them. There's some things we can learn from this passage. One, we learn about the heart of the Father for the needy, the broken. We learn here, why is his heart so broken for them? Well, they're his children, right? It's pretty simple. They're his children. If you have children, you know when your children are hurting, your heart breaks for them. It's one of the hardest things is to see your kid hurt. And you know one of the biggest blessings you can have as a parent is for someone to come in and meet your kid's need. If your child is hurting and someone comes and takes care of them, that's the greatest thing you can do for a parent. And so that's what you're seeing here is God looking at his children and seeing people meet the needs and some people not meeting the needs. And his heart is breaking for those children, and he is in love when people are meeting those needs. Some of the things I love here is Jesus is pointing out things that anyone can do. He's not saying things that, I just think about it in terms of social media. We get so overwhelmed because we are so aware of everything going on around the world, right? You wake up, you check through your phone, you're hearing about crises all over the world. How can you possibly bear the burden of the world's needs? That's not what Jesus is pointing out here. What he's pointing out are really simple things you can do in your immediate area. Feeding the hungry, giving a drink to someone who's thirsty, welcoming a stranger, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. This is all immediate needs within our area. He's not calling out someone that's taking care of things all over the world. Those are great. Absolutely. Get involved in those things. But what he's saying is this is something everybody can do right where you're at. These needs are everywhere. And what he wants us to recognize is when we see them, to just meet them. That's what he's calling out in us. Notice the difference between the two groups. So the second group, it's really interesting. They actually wanted to serve God. It wasn't that this was a group that was like, oh, we saw God and we said, no, we don't, we're not interested in serving God. We don't love God. We don't want to be about him. They actually were amazed that they hadn't served God and couldn't believe it. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? That's how I feel like I would be. When did I see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison? When I would have ministered you if I had seen you. Their heart is to serve God. That's what they want to be about. Yet somehow they missed it completely. And what's interesting is the other group was the exact opposite. They didn't even realize they were serving God. They were just doing it. When God points out that they were serving, they're like, wait, what? We were serving you? I said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? It's the total opposite response. And what is going on here is that God is pointing out the heart behind the service. And this is important here for a number of reasons. One is I want to make clear that if we're talking about judgment, because that's a heavy word, right? That's what I mean by heavy this morning. There's a few things that are heavy, and that's one of them. We don't love that word, but it's reality. And here, it's not that, I want to make clear, God is not judging people for eternity based on whether they served the poor or needy or not. I don't believe that's what's happening. It's not, did you rack up enough good times where you served enough people? Great, check, yes you did. Oh, you didn't do enough, sorry. You know, kingdom of God's not for you. That's not what's going on. What he's digging into is the heart. He's showing the heart behind the people. Because it's our hearts submitted to Jesus as our king that determines our eternal reality. And it's the hearts submitted to Jesus as king that determines which of these two camps we would fall into. Because it's the overflow of where our hearts are at. The first group, they had the heart of Jesus. They were so broken for the needy, they had the compassion for God's people, all people as God's children, that no matter what was going on, if they saw someone in need, they just had to meet the need because they saw God's children being hurt. It's like if I see any of your friends or your kids, sorry, out and they're hurting, my heart is immediately going to be like, I have to take care of that. That's my friend's child. I need to meet that need. Well, these people have that heart for all of God's children because it's a heart that's submitted and transformed by Jesus. And the other group, it seems like it's a lot more of just like outwardly. We think a lot of, when we think of biblical times like Pharisees, it's outwardly, I'm going to serve God. And I want people to see me serving God. But in like my soul, in my heart, it hasn't made any difference. There's no change. It's still about me and what people see. And if it doesn't perceive, like if it doesn't look like I'm going to serve God, well, then that's not that important. Because your heart hasn't yet broken for the children of God. So what's going on here really is digging into a heart transformed by Jesus. So when I think about us preparing like ourselves to be meeting the needs within our community, it's important to go out and do it. But for me personally, I know I need to deal with this as well. Like I need to make sure like I'm continually digging in with God to ask him for more of this transformed heart. I fully believe as someone who has submitted my life to Jesus, that he has transformed my heart. But I believe that it's a continual process that can continue to get better and better and more compassionate for others. So let's figure out, what does it look like? Like, what is this heart of Jesus? This is, I was wrestling through this maybe like 10 years ago, and this is the passage God brought to me to meditate on and spend, and when I say meditate, I mean like read over and over, pray about, think through, talk to God about. This is the passage that he led me to that helped me to start have more of a compassion for others. Go to Matthew 9:35. This is a real short passage, this part that I'm reading. Matthew 9:35, we'll go through 38. Jesus has just been going around, walking around, sharing about the kingdom, healing. It says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. He is just surrounded by people all the time and just continually pouring himself out. And so this next verse really captures his heart in all of this when he is seeing people. It said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go back to verse 36. That's where I'm really going to focus in on here. It said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Those words, harassed and helpless, in the Greek, there's quite a thing going on there. Harassed, the Greek word, it gets pretty descriptive. It actually describes a corpse which is flayed or mangled. It's describing those who are plundered aggressively by greedy men. Just everything is being taken advantage of them by those that like to take advantage of others. It talks about someone who is utterly weary by a journey which seems to have no end. They've been continually down this road without hope, and it just feels like there is no end in sight, and they're just exhausted. This word helpless means someone who's laid on the ground flat out, either from too much drink or from a mortal wound. There's nothing they can do. They're on the ground. He's looking at these people, and in his heart, He is seeing people who are on the ground, exhausted, without any hope, feel like they've been through so much, and see no end in sight. They are just done and needy and tired. And it says that he had compassion. And when you dig into this word in the Greek, there's some special stuff that comes out with it. That this is what, man, I was really grateful when God helped me understand this, but it's the strongest word for pity in the Greek language. So there's no stronger word to describe compassion or pity for another person. It said like he felt it the strongest He could feel it. It comes from, well, at that time, pity and love were thought to be in your bowels. So we think of pity and love like in our hearts, like you'd say, like, I love you with all my heart, or man, my heart breaks for that guy. For them, it was actually in the bowels. That's where they would describe pity and love residing. So this Greek word actually is talking about bowels, like to the deepest depths of your being. So it's saying like it, this feeling of pity and love for these people is the deepest Jesus could feel it. It does not get any deeper. Like they have no words to describe any deeper compassion for them. So he's seeing these people exhausted, weary, not knowing where to go. And his, we would say, heart is breaking for these people. This is actually the same word. Last week, Tony talked about the prodigal son, the running father. And it says that the father, when he saw his son returning, had compassion for him. It's the same word. The father saw the son coming back, and rather than turning away from him, his heart broke for him, and he ran to him. It's the same compassion that spurred the father to run to his children. It's the same compassion that Jesus has when he sees his children broken, that he's desperate to meet a need. And what you see next is he says, like, pray that more people come out. Pray that there are more people to take care of my children, to meet the needs. Like, he's just desperate for us to rally around him and help meet these needs. He had a heart for those in need, the marginalized, those that feel forgotten. This is the good news of the kingdom of Jesus. There's so much good news in the kingdom of Jesus. This is one of the things that's so good. He sees. If you feel this way when I'm describing these things, I know there are people in here that are probably like, man, that, like, he's talking about me. That's how I feel. If you feel that way, like, he sees you, he has compassion for you to the depths of his soul. This is how he felt for those people at that time. And what we learn in Matthew 25 is that's how he feels for people all the time, everywhere. Everyone is his child, and his heart is broken for everyone in their hurt and their need. And the good news is he sees you in this way and his heart is broken for you. And the good news for us that have said, you know what, I submit myself to Jesus as King and we believe he has transformed our hearts, is I love that we are his bride and he is purifying us, has purified us and continues to purify us, is transforming our hearts to be like his, to partner with him in showing this compassion. Our call is to wrap arms with Jesus and show this compassion and love to people. That's the amazing thing about our Father, is it's not that he does this, it's that he looks at us and he says, you're my image bearers. Like, I'm entrusting you to do this too. And he's calling us out to do this with him. So we can seek to serve Jesus everywhere we go. It's a great thing, but I think the real goal is that we need to develop a heart like Jesus so that we can't help but serve Jesus everywhere we go, whether we're thinking about it or not. So I want to just lay out a challenge for us. Challenges for two different groups. If you're here and you're saying, man, I don't know if I've ever had that relationship with Jesus where I've said, like, Jesus, you're my King, and I want to submit myself to your ways because they're better than my ways, and I want your forgiveness. I want that healing. I want that new life within me. My challenge to you is dig in with God this week about that. Read, for all of us, I want to challenge us, read Matthew 9, 35 through 38 every day this week. This is my challenge. I'm going to read Matthew 9, 35 through 38 every day this week. It's real simple. And if you are in that first camp that I'm talking about, I would say ask God to show you how his heart breaks for you, because it does. And it breaks because he knows what freedom and healing can come through a heart submitted to him. And so ask him to show you that. And if you would say, man, I have that life with Jesus. I have submitted myself. I am living for Jesus in his way. My challenge to you is ask him to give you more of his compassion. That's the thing I need. I need more of his compassion. So as I'm thinking about November 20th, trying to do Serve Together Sunday, I want between now and then Jesus to give me more of his compassionate heart for others. So Matthias, you can throw up here. The challenge that I want to throw out is pray. So read Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Pray either one of those things, and then let's prepare to serve together. We're going to serve on the 20th. Those can go hand in hand. It's not that you need to develop this heart before you can serve, or you need to go serve without praying. These two things can go hand in hand, and God will use both of them to transform your heart. So I just pray that we become a people whose hearts break for what breaks the Father's. And that when we go out and serve, that we are the people that whenever we're serving, wherever we're at, whether we're thinking about serving or not thinking about serving, when those needs are in front of us, we can't but help to meet those needs of God's children. And so next week, we're going to talk through specifically what some of those ministry partners for us are. And then November 20th, we're going to go out and serve together. But this week, let's prepare our hearts for that. Let's spend time meditating on this scripture. Let's pray through it and let's ask God to transform our hearts so that we're better equipped to be servants for him. We're going to go into communion, which in light of all of this, this is the greatest expression of Jesus's heart of compassion for us, right? We believe we have sinned. We've been separated from God, but that Jesus had so much compassion for us that he came as the Son of God, spent time with us, and took on the suffering in our place. So the suffering that we're rightfully, we deserve because of what we've done. We've all done things that are wrong. And we just, like, there's punishment that can come with that. We believe Jesus said, yes, but I'm going to take that on. I love you so much. Like, I will take that from you. You do not have to experience that. And we believe that was done through his death and then his resurrection. He showed triumph over death, and he's at the right hand of the Father now in his glory. And through communion, we remember with the bread, the physical suffering, his life here, the new bodies we'll have. And through the cup, we remember the blood that was shed for our forgiveness, and then the purity we have to be with him. So we're going to have two lines going out the back. We'll have a line coming up each side on the front. We'll take communion together afterwards. So just take it and you can keep it at your spot. There's gluten-free options at every spot. So when you're ready, go ahead, get communion, and then we'll gather together again and do it together.